Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Some of you might know that in addition to being a radio personality, I am also a longtime faculty member below these 22 years at the University of California at Davis. I'm also, these days, the Academic Director of Academic Technology Services, which is our Instructional Technology and Digital Media Center, which stands poised to help faculty think about different ways of using media to support teaching, excellent teaching. And excellent teaching, we know, is not instructor-centered, but it's student-centered, and it is not lecture-driven, but it's activity-driven. So with all of that in mind, I was thinking, I've got two very bright individuals from different parts of Sacramento here in the studio. Why not have a conversation about some of the projects that we're working on in a collaborative way and have you all listen in? And even though their projects are not directly related, we may find some connections. And if this crashes and burns, then I'll never do it again. But meanwhile, let me introduce you to my two guests. The first is Ray Tatter. And, Ray, I know you phoned into the show. Have you been here in the studio?
Yes, once a few years ago.
Yeah.
We were producing a play about William Butler Yeats.
That's right. That's terrific.
And so I made it on down here. And
good.
We talked about Yeats and the writer of the play, the Yeats play, who is from Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
and a poet himself.
Now, for years, you worked, if I remember correctly, at the California Arts Council?
Correct, yeah.
And tell me about some of the work that you did there.
Well, I was literature and theater grants administrator for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
and ran some programs like the touring program and pretty much stayed in organizational grants, giving money to poetry centers across the state, helping develop some national programs like Poetry Out Loud,
right,
which is doing very well in high schools, reading poetry, and it's kind of a competition where you get points for good reading, and then it goes on to the state level and on to the national level, and you read at the Kennedy.
Yeah, which is amazing. If I remember correctly, that's back when the California Arts Council actually had a budget to speak of.
Yeah, it's true. There's always hope.
Right.
But the Arts Council still itself is plugging along with some very bright and wonderful administrators who continue their work to support arts and education, arts and in the professional artist world. And it's a powerful tool. And it can be more powerful with more money, yes.
Absolutely. Well, an excellent plug. And you've always been a theater guy, as you started to allude to, and right now you're directing a play called The Year of Magical Thinking, which will be a familiar title to people who know the Sacramento-born novelist Joan Didion.
Right.
Tell me about that play, and because people are going to be tuning in and out, we can't mention ticket prices, but let's remind them if they want some tickets, if they want more information, where should they go and when is it showing and where and
so
forth.
They could just Google the words California Stage, and the mm-hmm. California Stage website will come up, and you can order tickets on that. Or you can, you know, call California Stage box office at 916-451-5822. But, you know, it's better to get it online. The Brown Paper Tickets sends you a notice, and you have your ticket.
Right. Excellent. And what is The Year of Magical Thinking?
Well, The Year of Magical Thinking is a book written by Joan Didion, who lives in New York now. She grew up in Sacramento, a couple of blocks from a library, and took to writing and became, as we know, probably the most popular woman writer in America, writing novels and short stories and essays. And this book, The Year of Magical Thinking, is about the death of her husband. He came home from dinner one night and he dropped dead. And you know, her way of grieving was to hit the computer and start writing, writing her feelings. And her daughter also died. And so it was about what happened to a linear mind and one who was really driven for the facts. These ideas start to come to her mind, like she couldn't throw his shoes out because he would need them when he came back.
Right.
You know, she had these thoughts. And it's about how people think when their close loved one dies. And so it's a very powerful drama. The book won the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. And so there's a reason why. It's in her writing. And if you've ever read any of her work, you can see she's very spare and has a good sense of rhythm and music to the writing, and this works out very well. This played in New York
with Vanessa Redgrave in the role at one point,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it played in a very large theater, and Jana Stevens, who is the actress playing the role with us, saw it in New York, and she said, "Ray, this is for us. We should do this because I want to play the role, because it's really an intimate play, and at the Booth Theater on Broadway, not
right.
You know, a lot of musicals played in that theater.
So it's hard to do nuance when you've got an audience that size.
Exactly. It's also about her wandering off in her thoughts and then coming back and explaining what just happened.
Yeah. And as someone who loves poetry, you recognize that is typically the stuff of poets rather than the stuff of, say, the essayist.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mentioned before that I've been teaching for 22 years here at UC Davis. I really cut my teeth as a teacher of writing on Joan Didion's essays. And also, you know, E.B. White and Alice Walker and others. But these, George Orwell, these are the folks who are presented to us as kind of the paragon of crisp, clean, well-revised, purposeful nonfiction prose, the sort that we wished our students to emulate and to try to write. I think we have a more expansive definition of what a successful essay is today. But certainly, Joan Didion's work was crucially important, not only for you know, readers of the New Yorker, let's say, but in college classrooms for like decades now.
Right. So how can that be transformed to the stage?
Right.
And I think our production, it's won some very fine reviews, 5-star reviews from the News and Review.
That's great.
And from others, including the Davis Enterprise, has received very high remarks for the production. But she found that inner life of Joan Didion, and I think that's a very important aspect of it. And you have to be close to her to be able to understand, because she goes from 0 to 60 in a couple of seconds. In that prose that she writes.
Right, right. That's terrific. Well, and again, it's California Stage, and is it also called the Wilkerson Theater at the R25 Arts Complex?
Yeah, it is. It's right at R25 at R Street in the middle of and 25th Street.
Right. That's good, because if you're a Davisite, you just know it's a big grid. And how are you going to find it? The Sacramento Poetry Center is over there too, and sometimes people have trouble finding it.
It is.
So R25 is a great thing to throw in.
Just a little help, right? And you know, the Poetry Center is there, the Alliance Française, there are 14 artist lofts, and 3 theater companies now cooking.
Excellent.
Including the one in the Wilkerson Theater.
That's great. Well, we've been talking with Ray Tatter about the Year of Magical Thinking. And I'm going to present to you some magical thoughts now on getting healthy through walking. But then we will return, and I'm going to let Skye Dickinson join the conversation, and then we'll see if the three of us can have a conversation and have you all listen in. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and we'll be right back. Now we have Skye Dickinson in the house. Sky is a former student of mine. He took the first 100P class that I ever taught, which is the Advanced Poetry Writing Workshop here at the University of California, Davis. It was the fall quarter right after September 11th, 2001, and so many of us, as we were just talking about with Ray Tatter, we're dealing with different sorts of traumas, and we're exploring ways that writing could help us clarify our own thinking and also perhaps address some inevitable therapeutic concerns. Well, Skye Dickinson has probably written more words since then than any one of the students in that class a decade or more ago. And we talked last time about his very impressive productivity as a writer. He's come out with a series of children's books. Last time he was on the show, which was only a few months ago, it feels like, he had recently come out with an ABC book. What was the title of that one, Skye?
That was Ready, Set, Alphabet.
That's right, Ready, Set, Alphabet. And my kids love that one. I don't know if we've talked about it, but my my then 6-year-old and 11-year-old were really enjoying that book. So thank you very much for that copy.
Glad to hear.
And you've come out with two children's books since then.
Right.
One is called The Great Digit Book. And what's the title of the other one again?
Shaping the World.
Shaping the World.
Yes.
So, Skye Dickinson, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much, Dr. Andy. I don't know if I ever realized that was your first time teaching that class. I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I told you all that. It's not the sort of thing, as a young instructor, I wanted to reveal.
Yeah.
Sure. But I've taught it a few times since then. It's one of my favorite classes to teach. And yours was a great group, as you remember. And we got back in touch, a few years ago on Facebook. In part because you've really been a productive writer, not only doing these kids' books, but also a tremendous amount of internet journalism. And I'm wondering if we could take a minute to remind folks of some of the things that you are interested in. A lot of them have to do with sports, if I remember correctly.
You do? Yeah. Fresh out of college, like many people, didn't really know what was next, and I ended up getting into the teaching business, falling in love with it. And then after about 5 years of full-time work, I started to kind of realize that maybe, I had boarded the Titanic a moment after it hit the iceberg.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of interested in exploring other things, and I kind of substitute taught, and I segued slowly, step by step, from full-time income as a teacher to income as a writer and artist. And it was a scary, beautiful time, and I'm kind of just getting my feet set now. Making my teaching is long behind me, and I'm making my income 100% as an author of these children's books, and an internet journalist. And the vast majority of my internet journalism is actually ghostwriting.
Yeah.
Which whoever may scoff at or whatever, but that's just fine. It works out perfect for me, and I have a bunch of really good clients. I've worked with about 100 different clients over the last 2 years, and I've whittled it down to about the 6 or 7. Best, most appreciative, and most lucrative.
Yeah.
And so it's great. They love me. I love them. They know me as Picasso. And,
yeah.
They don't even know who I am.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
That's great.
And
they love you in part because you can meet deadlines, you can write well, and you can write well quickly, which is a rare ability in today's young professional.
Well, thank you very much. And, we got a little to talk about in that regard. As far as typing goes, when I'm really cooking, it's about 3,500 words a day.
Yeah.
And
can you imagine that? Let's get Ray in here. Can you imagine
3,500
that, Ray?
3,500
words a day, yeah.
Henry Miller said, if I can get out 4 pages, that's all I'm going to do, and that's
right.
Great.
Yeah, I just kind of flipped into that mode. And when I look back, I would teach, and you would assign 400-word essays to these kids. Like, 400 words! And, I sneeze and 400 words comes
right.
out.
Right, absolutely.
You just kind of get into a mode. And recently, this is something you brought up. Is it okay to be this far away?
Oh, yeah. You sound really good. Keep going.
Something you brought up the first time I was here was, had I ever explored voice recognition software?
Right.
And I had not, except back when I was in college, I bought the first program, I think, that ever came out, and just incredibly disappointed with it and kind of turned off to that permanently. And then when you said that, the wheels started turning. And, at the end of a long day, I... just like other people who use their bodies all day. And, I got my eyes looking at that screen for 6 hours. I got the hands have been, going at it. And And so I was definitely open to that. And I just in the last week found one that I believed was cutting edge. And I was willing to put my money and trust in again. It arrived yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. And I put together about 4,000 words yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's wonderful.
It was like, you know, three generations ago seeing a washing machine for the first time or something.
Right.
Just, oh my, this is going to change everything.
Yeah.
Like it doubled my productivity that day. And I don't know if I'm just still in the giddy aftermath of it all or what, but it doesn't even seem like I'm working as hard.
Yeah.
You know, at the...
What's the name of the product? You're not a salesperson. We're not going to mention prices, so you can go ahead and tell us what you're working with.
Okay. Well, let me first say I'm here to pump these three books, which you can find at ReadySetAlphabet.com.
ReadySetAlphabet.com. We're going to come back to that in just a second.
Okay, gotcha. The program is called, and I'll have to get a hold of them and see if there's any royalties involved here, but it's Dragon. It's the Dragon program. Dragon 12.
Yeah. Dragon 12. Oh,
yeah.
I heard the Dragon 11 was the breakthrough.
Okay.
We went through 10.
Yeah, to get it right.
Well,
I sat down with the thing. I put it in, you know, downloaded it, and then it's about maybe a 15, 20-minute process where you just speak, and it gets used to what you're saying. And then, you know, I was anxious to go. And, as a matter of fact, the thing arrived at about 9 in the morning, and I had deadlines at 11:30.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to write. I'm determined to write them with this. And so I put it all
together.
You had
to learn quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I got this piece about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know, just a fascinating, very well-established band. And so I sat down, and I said, well, if anything's going to be a test of the thing's abilities, it's going to be an article about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right.
So I said the first sentence, which involved Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and kind of sat back and waited, and popped up 100% correct. And it was just like, a whole new world. You know, it was nice, man. It was nice.
That's great. You know, that Dragon 11 right now is being used for vets from the Middle East who have lost their ability to type through, you know, bombs and the like, and who said, and they learn how to do that, and some of them can only actually use their mouth, you know, because they've been paralyzed, and they are now there's a training program at some of the vet centers, vet hospital in San Jose, to use Dragon 11 or 12, and they can work anything. Like their computer, they can send email, receive email.
That's fascinating to know, and good to know that's used for that. And I'm just getting to know its capabilities.
And you can write books.
Right.
Yeah.
If I have my thoughts organized enough, yeah, absolutely. So and it's also a different part of the brain. You know, I've noticed it's a different pace. It's exercising a different muscle, it feels like. And my writing is different. I mean, it's still me. My voice is still there, but
right.
I'm putting together phrases that I wouldn't have typed, you know, but I said they just came to me.
Yeah.
So, and then like you said, you know, you get in the, my fear is that I'll be talking to you one day and I'll say, it's nice to see you, Dr. Andy, comma.
Right.
You know, because you say that. So we'll see if that comes along, but.
Because it's waiting for the punctuation, you know, if you have to speak all the punctuation. I know this because my wife's birthday was Sunday. Someone, I think it was me, bought her a new iPhone 5. And she had the 4 before. And the 4S, which I have, has Siri, so you can talk to it and so forth. But now I hear her talking, quotes, to herself in different parts of the room all the time.
Yeah.
And it's fun to hear her adjust the cadence of her voice and stop and think about what she's going to say in the way that we don't if we're on the phone. Because if we get it wrong, we just, you know, say, oh, you know what I mean. And then, you know, it's this whole collaborative, fast-moving thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're dictating to your telephone, you almost think a few sentences ahead. It said of Bill Clinton that he speaks in paragraphs, right, in the way that most of us wish that we could. And I bet that increasingly you'll be speaking in paragraphs as well. Or maybe you learned it in the first hour and a half of your program, because I know you're a fast-moving guy.
I felt things come along. I mean, I haven't got the paragraph, but, yeah, soon. And, you know, I know in my heart that this is the future of writing. And, I mean, if, you know, rewinding a few hundred years, if this had somehow been invented, typewriters wouldn't have. You know, we would have gone straight to that.
Right.
So,
That's interesting.
It is. It's really fascinating. So.
Well, tell us about the Great Digit book, which is your latest. Is this out? Is it available now?
This is the second in the three. The latest is actually the Shaping the World, and that's on the printing presses right now in South Carolina. This one is exact same concept. You know, I said on the show last time, I really felt like the idea and even the title of Ready, Set, Alphabet just, like, fell into my lap, you know. And so why would I not continue down this road? You know, they've been received very well. I've been very lucky. And so I thought about when I finished this book, I thought about just shifting the crank to promotional mode from creative mode because, you know, those two entirely different beasts, obviously. And but I thought, no, I want a couple more. I want, like, a stack to sell this holiday. And so, you know, this is what I do. So I went for it, and this is stuff like this I could easily lose myself in. So I put together the material, this digit book, which is a painting of each of the digits,
right,
an accompanying poem. I might get a chance to read one later, and then did the same thing with the shapes. And by the time, you know, the time it takes to create one of these books is going to be the same, I think, forever, because I'm not even trying to speed up a painting or a poem or anything, but the process that it took me to self-publish it and put it together has been, you know, has been chopped dramatically every single time. So I spent about half the time I did on the second book making the first one, and I spent about a third of the time making putting together. Yeah. So I'm really getting the hang of it online and putting all the files together, knowing how to get everything looking correct, and I'm loving it. You know, I plan fast forward a few years to have a nice collection of these, and even go out of the children's realm into some stories for some younger adults and you know, just adults. And I'm currently working on a live performance to tour at schools.
Oh, that's great. Well, Sky Dickinson is the owner of the voice that you've been hearing. We're talking about his books, including the Great Digit book and Ready, Set, Alphabet.
If I could just pump the website real quick. Yeah, it's readysetalphabet.com. You'll find there I kind of flew over the head of the legal eagles on this one, but we got the Dr. Andy November special, as long as we don't have a problem with that.
Yes, and we can't mention prices. You can mention specials.
Okay. Yeah, and the special is all three books.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give me if you order them in the next couple of days, you know, give me about a week to send them out because I'm just getting the last one off the presses here from across the country. But it's all three books. It's a personally hand-painted watercolor card that's empty on the inside. You can write whatever you want. Envelope for that. That whole package. Incredibly reasonably priced. You can buy it all one click. Three Christmas presents taken care of right there. So.
And they're beautiful books. Say something about your artistic process, because the images are unlike images that I've seen in other kids' books.
Thank you. Yeah, if you were to Google watercolors and look at the first, you know, 200 images that came up, you wouldn't see anything like I paint, because I wasn't really trained classically. I kind of take them in a whole different direction. I separate. I love vivid color, just splash color. You could make things clash in certain instances. You got to be careful, but you know, for the most part, just light this thing up with color. You know, motion. I like my paints to have a little movement, and then I have this style where I separate, kind of like a surgeon type of way of assembling a watercolor painting, where I separate all the colors and leave tiny little fine lines between them, and takes a slow hand and a steady touch, and I love this stuff. So
that's great. Good for you. Well, you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. When we come back, I'm going to ask a question of Ray Tatter, who's the director of the Year of Magical Thinking, which is an especially well-received play, which you can see over at the Wilkerson Theater at the R25 Arts Complex in Sacramento. You can also Google California Stage. And we're going to hear some more from Sky. We're also going to hear one of the poems from one of his more recent books. And then I'm hoping that we're going to have time where I'm going to ask each one of these gentlemen to ask a question of the other one. So we'll see how they do. It's kind of like a DJ training right here in the middle, towards the end of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. So stick around for that. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Now it's going to be the lightning round of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, where we're going to cover lots of things and also hear a poem from one of Sky Dickinson's most recent books. But first, the Year of Magical Thinking. Let me ask you a question, Ray.
Of course, there is a connection with Joan Didion and Sacramento, though she hasn't lived in Sacramento for many years. Do people bring this up when they are coming to see the show? Are there any? Has anyone come to see the show, for instance, who knew Joan when she was here back in the day?
Some of her family are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a lot of cousins in Sacramento. When I decided to do this play, I went to the Sacramento City Old City Association. And they said that they were going to do a walkthrough of Joan's house that she grew up in, and they did it a few weeks before the play opened. 1,300 people walked through that house.
Yeah. Wow.
There was a line that went up the block. And, of course, I stood by them and talked to them about this play. Talk about marketing, Sky.
Yeah. That's terrific.
Handed out these little brochures, $5 off, and all I have to do is say Soka.
Yeah. That's terrific. So that worked out for you. And obviously, there's a lot of interest. I mean, I give credit to Sacramento that there's such interest in one of our local celebrity authors that people want to see what that house was like.
Yeah. The thing is that they are coming to see the play as well, and many people who have read the book. And the book is so compelling that people want to talk about the play because the play is the book, and they want to talk about their experience of this and weave in their own feelings about it.
Right.
So there's a lot of talk after the show, and I kind of say, well, the lights are going out in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's terrific. All right, Sky, your turn. What poem do you want to read from The Great Digit Book, one of your most recent publications?
Let's see. I think I will go each. There's several different shades of each color within each digit, but each digit has its own color, except the digit zero, which is a combination of every color I used. So I'll go ahead and read zero here. Zero came along after 1 through 9, and humans saved the best for last. Slapping zeros on the backs of digits lets us grasp the future, present, and past. 1,000 years ago, folks said the Earth was flat, but it's round, they later discovered. As the drive of mankind pushes forward, new truths about our world are uncovered.
That's terrific. All right, Ray, your turn. Do you have a question for Sky here, this productive young artist and poet who we've been chatting with?
Well, I'm fascinated about the output of his fingers and how fast he can turn these books around and how he's developed the marketing ideas for the books and the artistic ideas. If we can't really see this book, I'm holding it in my hands and I'm looking at the colors of the digits in the Great Digit Book, and they're bright colors, and they kind of draw you right in. And there's a poem for each one. It's really a lovely children's book. And so I'm thinking, wow, you did this before you discovered this new process, which you can write from just extemporizing from your mind into a microphone.
Right.
Yeah. And you say that it's different. Are you a little afraid that you might lose a little of that edge in your writing?
Well, to be honest with you, Ray, thanks for the compliment, sir. I don't think I would. I have no designs at the moment of doing poetry through that. Mm-hmm. I think I'll always kind of keep that on the pencil and pad. You know, we all know the muse when she comes around. You know, you got to be ready to dance no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think paper and a pencil are, you know, behooves me for that. So I don't know. I'm interested. I feel like I'm on like about 36 hours into a whole new world here. So I don't know. I mean, maybe we could meet together in 6 months and I'll be able to answer that a little more. But no, I'm not too worried. I'm just excited.
Just another tool then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Another tool.
He'll hold on to the edge. All right, good. Sky Dickinson, author of The Great Digit Book, and also, what's the alphabet book called?
Ready, Set, Alphabet, The Great Digit Book is Shaping the World.
There you go. Ready, Set, Alphabet, which you can find at ReadySetAlphabet.com. What final question do you have for my guest, Ray Totter?
Well, I'm very glad to be a part of this trio here. And Ray, learning that you're such a major player in Sacramento theater, the show that you have right now seems very a very interesting glimpse into humanity, and I should be checking it out here in the near future. I'm just wondering, in your whole career, what play did you have the most fun working with?
Oh, fun. Well, that's a good question. It's actually a series of plays. When I was 17, I just got into a junior college, and I met fellow actor, and he said, you know, there's a job acting down at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, wow, for sure, yeah.
And I went down and got it. I took Steve Martin's place.
No way.
Yeah, he left and he went over to Disneyland, and, right. Well, you know what happened after that. Yes, and so I got this job as a hero in the melodrama there, four times a day and five on Sunday, the same play 800 times a year.
How long was the running time?
Well, it ran four times a day and five on Sunday for all 50 weeks.
But how long was it?
And the play itself?
35 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. 35 minutes, you know. And about 15 times or 20 times in, hey, I know my lines. But it those plays will always stay with me as, you know, something that... because they're all designed for instant laugh-making.
Gotcha.
And instant reactions from the audience, boo, hiss. So it was a real visceral experience, you know, and coming up with the characters, you know, stuff.
Right. That's terrific. Well, we have come to the end of this radio show. We've just been hearing from Ray Totter and Sky Dickinson. Ray, the best way to find the work that you're doing at the Year of Magical Thinking is to Google California Stage.
That's right. Absolutely. And come down to California Stage at RN25 in Midtown Sacramento and see The Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion, starring Janice Stevens.
Excellent. And Sky Dickinson, your website, remind us one more time.
Yeah, do not Google Sky Dickinson. Do not do that. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah, the website is ReadySetAlphabet.com, and all three books can be found there, as can everyone coming out in the future. I'm going to take a few months off from production and kind of go into sales and promotion mode, and I really hope folks check this out. I'm really proud of these books. They stand on their own. They've gotten great reception, and I think it's a great value.
That's great. And will one get to see samples of your artistic work as well on the website?
Well, I got videos that kind of explore the inside of these books. So, yeah,
excellent.
To that extent, absolutely.
Great, great. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank my two guests here in the studio, Ray Totter of California Stage, and Sky Dickinson, author of a great number of books, including The Great Digit Book. And what's the Shape book that you're working on now that's due to come out?
It's on the presses in South Carolina. That is Shaping the World.
Shaping the World. And I'd also like to thank Mary St. Mary, who's going to be giving a number of readings in the coming month and a half. Thank you very much to the absent producer of this radio show. That'd be Evan White. He's off in North Carolina enjoying a visit with some family. Thank you, Evan. And thanks to all of you for listening. KDBS is here because of your support. And as Ray mentioned earlier, the arts and original thinking, creative thinking, they need your support. We can keep this up because of the work that you all do to keep us afloat. So think of that when April comes along. And think of us coming up because we've got some great music. Following the end, the conclusion of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thank you, gentlemen. Well done.
Thank you,
sir.
Yeah. And I'll see you next week on the radio show. Take care.